Let's pray and seek God's blessing upon his word. Our gracious Father in heaven, may you open this word to us for our good instruction, teaching, and encouragement, to strengthen our faith in the Lord God, and to revive us, Father, in the midst of life as we take today out of our busy schedules, a day that you have given to us, we can set aside now to give you thanks and to praise you, to be together with our loved ones, and to enjoy those rich and wonderful blessings and many, many blessings that have come from you. So may you bless your word to us for our comfort, to strengthen us, and to bring forth even more thanksgiving and praise to you. You are infinite in your majesty, and human words will fail to express the thanks and the praise that is due to your holy name. And even if we could live in this life for a very, very, very long time, we could not express all of the thanks and praise that is due to you. So infinite is your majesty, so infinite is your goodness, and you deserve praise and glory for all eternity. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn together to Psalm 124. This is found on page 517. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, and then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And so far the reading of God's word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this Thanksgiving Day, what are you thankful for? Undoubtedly, that's a long list for you, because there's so many things for us to be thankful for. We're thankful for our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that by His grace and through Jesus Christ, we are His children. God is our Maker. He is the Creator of heaven and earth and all things, and He sustains it. Jesus has redeemed us with His own precious blood, given His life for us. The Holy Spirit indwells us now, to bring forth praise and thanksgiving. The Holy Spirit is with us to make us like Christ, to bring forth obedience and that wonderful fruit of the Spirit. We're thankful for true faith, that we believe in Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous gift. We're thankful for His Word that is so clear and plain and refreshing to us. It revives the soul because it's true and it tells us all of the glories of our God. We're thankful for the church, that we can come and worship. I was remarking upon a few of these things last night at the Pioneer Home as well, you know, and we didn't have it a year and a half ago or so. And then you get to come back and we get to gather again. It's refreshing and joyful once again to worship publicly, to have fellowship. We're blessed by our brothers and sisters in the church. We're blessed by our visitors. We're thankful, and I know many of you are, your children and grandchildren are walking in the fear of the Lord. Something truly to be very thankful for. We're thankful for family. And yes, boys and girls, even for your brothers and sisters, and even for your mom and dad when they have to tell you no or tell you something else that you don't want to hear. But the blessings of family are absolutely tremendous. Something that lasts your whole lifetime. And something to be truly thankful for. Those bonds that God has given you. And the place where you are, the family that you're born into. Those are all gifts of His wonderful goodness. We're thankful for family. We're thankful for a good harvest. And we're thankful for the blessings of work that God pours out upon us. For the prosperity and the comforts that come from that. It's all from His hand. That we can be here and have good health. And we're especially thankful for health when we lose it for a time. Maybe through a temporary sickness or maybe through something that was much longer. And certainly, if you've lost loved ones recently, we're thankful for good health. We're thankful for life. We're also thankful for the promise of new life, eternal life, which Jesus Christ gives when He comes again, the resurrection, and the hope and the joy of knowing that those who have lived in Christ and died in Christ will live in Christ again. There is an eternity of fellowship with Jesus and with God's people that awaits those who believe in Him. A wonderful promise and something truly to give thanks for. We're thankful for this country in which we live. We're thankful for the state that we live in. We're thankful for the communities that we live in, for stable communities. Not a lot of small towns in America are doing very well, and by God's grace, we are. And we praise God for that, because it's not our doing. It's His blessings. He's using us, to be sure. But He's the one who is rewarding the work. He's the one doing that in His grace to add upon us an abundance of blessings and His love and His faithfulness. We're thankful that we can be here. We're thankful that we have life. We're thankful that our God is with us. There's many other things that you can add to that list as well. Maybe you're really thankful for the food that you're going to eat today, and you're just thinking about pumpkin pie or apple pie and all kinds of other good desserts and things like that. God has laid before us an abundance of things to be thankful for. So it's good to take this day, Thanksgiving Day, to take a break from our busy lives and schedules. And to come to church, and to be gathered with our loved ones, and to acknowledge all that we have and all that God has given to us, and to truly give thanks. And behind all of those things that we're thankful for is this great, living, wonderful truth that Psalm 124 puts before us, that God is for us. God is for us. Now, you know that in the New Testament, Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And maybe Paul had Psalm 124 in mind. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But this is the Old Testament way of saying what Romans 8:31 says. If God is for us, who can be against us? And God is for us. He is for you. He is there for us. He is there with us. He is, as Psalm 124 says in the ESV, let Israel now say, God is on our side. He's on our side. There's something really comforting about having somebody on your side. You're playing basketball at recess or some other sport or some other game, and the teams get divided, and you start looking around. Who's on my team? Who's on my side? Yeah, we can win this. This is going to be a good game. And you get confidence, and you get some courage. This is going to go well. There have been theological controversies and discussions in the churches over the years, and I do the work of studying and learning and so forth, but at some point you start looking around too, and you say, well, who's on which side of the issue? And you find out who's on your side of the issue, and there's some comfort in that. There's some confidence in that. Or maybe for some of you, I think for most of you, Thanksgiving Day is a wonderful day. But for some families, it's not. It's a hard day. Maybe there's some drama or some difficulty with the family. But you can face that knowing that your spouse is on your side. Or your brother or your sister or something like that. Because somebody is there with you. God is on our side. He's for us. And particularly in Psalm 124, he's for us, or he's on our side when it comes to us dealing with our enemies, who are many and who are described in rather vivid and vicious terms in this psalm, like the devil. When the devil bares his dragon teeth, when he huffs his fiery breath, when he licks his dragon chops with his forked tongue, as an enemy who wants to devour us. And he tries with his lies. God's word doesn't really say this or that. You can't trust God's word. He lies to us and he lies to the world. Or he lies to us and says, God is not very good at all, like he did with Adam and Eve. Did God really say that you can't eat of any tree of the garden? What is this? What is he holding back from you? Why did he do this? Why put you here and give you all these things and then tell you, no, you can't have that? That kind of lie comes at us all the time living in this world. Why would God put you in this world with all of these opportunities to seek your pleasure and your comfort and things that you want? And then he says, no, you can't have that. You see, he's holding back on you, the devil would say. Or all of his temptations. You're unworthy. You're a sinner. Or why don't you go and sin? Why don't you just get around God's law and then you can get what you want? The devil always makes sin look so enticing. He makes sin look so good to us. Cheating gets it faster, so why don't you just do that? Or you know that God wants you to have these good things, so why don't you just go around Him and go get it? Don't wait for Him. He's slow. Go and get what you need. God won't mind. Those temptations are always that way. Or near death. The devil often tempts God's people, or maybe always tempts God's people, very near death. And some of you have seen that in your loved ones, a restlessness a few days or day or two before death comes. It's the devil working once again. You see, God has forgotten you. You never knew God. You never loved Him enough. You didn't do enough for the Lord. You're not going to enter into paradise. I don't know exactly what the temptations are because I've never heard them myself and nobody's ever told me what they were. But it's very common. His last opportunity to try to take your joy away. But you see, God is for us. No believer in Jesus Christ has ever died without the peace of the Holy Spirit because that's the Holy Spirit's work. No temptation is more than what you can take. God provides a way of escape, to paraphrase 1 Corinthians 10. And all those accusations that you're unworthy and unlovable and you're a rotten, dirty sinner and you're not going to get into heaven, Christ has answered all of that. He's for us. He justified us through His death and resurrection. He paid the price of all of our sins. We are sinners, all of us. In that, the devil's right, absolutely. But Christ gets the final word on that, not the devil. Christ has finished His work for us on the cross. That's why He came and suffered and died. God is for us. Your Father's word is true. He is steadfast in His love and He is faithful in all of His promises. Never once will He let you down. Never once will He fail you. God is everlastingly good, perfectly good, and the fountain of all good. Don't listen to the lies of the devil and his temptations. God is for you. Against all these peoples that rise up against us, and have risen up against God's people throughout the ages and continue to rise up against God's people in the world today. Their anger kindled against the church. The church has been blamed for all kinds of things throughout history. Still being blamed for things. It's the fault of the Christians. You can go back to Rome. And after Nero burns the whole city because of his greed and his anger, he blames the Christians. And a great persecution ensues. It's the same today, in just more subtle ways. Not the burning of a whole city or an empire, perhaps, but in more subtle ways. The Christians are the ones who are in the way of progress. The Christians are the ones in the way of more acceptability in society or equality, so on and so forth. And their anger is kindled against us. A whole culture who wants to call evil good and good evil. And we stand in the way because we believe the truth that evil is evil and good is good. And the two don't get to be mixed up and shuffled around at the whims of men. We believe that. We believe that there is truth. We believe that all this normalizing of abominable behaviors and lifestyles is wrong, sinful, and detrimental to the betterment of society. The tearing down and attacks on family, especially fatherhood, is egregious before the sight of God. If you're a Christian man of one wife and you love the Lord, there's a faint target on your back right now. It might get brighter. The world hates God's truth and anybody who stands for it. And they are eager to swallow us up whole, swallow us up alive, as Psalm 124 says. But God is for us. God is for us. He gives us the truth to ground us in it. He gives us like-minded believers who are there with us to share these burdens. We're not alone in these battles. We're not alone against these threats and against this enemy. God is for us. God is on our side. God is not going to allow all of these cultural forces to destroy the church. Has that ever happened? That's never happened. It's not going to happen. In fact, every time the culture presses on, well, what does that do for us? Strengthens us, strengthens our resolve. It forces us to go back to God's Word and re-examine all of these things in the light of what God actually says. It's good for the church. It's hard, but it's good. It's good for us. And we can do that with confidence, and we can have hope for the future because God is for us. He's on our side. Governments, institutions, they're against us. They are enemies, baring their teeth, trying to sink their teeth into us like prey, trying to swallow up alive the future generations of God's covenant people. Institutions of higher learning. You know, for some universities and colleges, there's no greater oxymoron than that. Institutions of higher learning. It's vanity and foolishness in a lot of places. But boy, do they think they're smart. They think they got it all figured out. They have less wisdom than our infants do. Our children know the Lord. These people don't. They have no idea. But they're dead set against the truth of God's Word. They're dead set against the Word and against Christ. Why do governments flex their muscle the way that they do? With policies and mandates and closing churches and laying on fines on God's people, hauling Christians out of their homes, imprisoning them without due process, taking Bibles, confiscating good books, because they're afraid and they know how weak they are and how powerless they are against the Almighty. God is for us. He's on our side. There's a reckoning for all of this, but again, every time that this happens, and in every place where this happens, the church flourishes. They press against God's people, and God's truth prevails. They press against the church, and the Holy Spirit spreads the gospel even further. Often through neighbors of Christians who look next door and they're wondering, why would the government have anything against this person if they really knew who this person is? This person is kind and generous, a good neighbor. And they get curious, what's really going on here then? Why is the government so insistent upon destroying these Christians and isolating them and identifying them as enemies of the state? They're not bad people. And people become converted by the truth, and the church grows. God is for us. He's given us His Word. Like David in 2 Chronicles, we're not in the hands of man, but we're in God's hands, where there's mercy. Afflictions and sickness and trials of various kinds. Everything to do with COVID. It's like wave after wave after wave of the ocean. I've been in the ocean a few times, both coasts. One time I was swimming in the ocean on the East Coast. And I was with a friend. We were out, 30 or 40 feet from shore. And the water got deep pretty quickly. And the waves were really high. There's a lot. So we're swimming against the waves to get out. You're going up really high and then coming down. And then we're kind of wading in the water and we're still bobbing up and down. And he looks at me and he says, "I'm really tired." And I didn't think about it. But when he said that, I realized, I'm really tired too. And it took a lot of effort to get out of here. It's going to take a lot of effort to get back too. Because as you know, when the waves hit you and they crash against you, it's a lot of fun, but then there's an undertow afterwards. It sucks you back in. So we made it back, obviously, and everything was fine. But out there in the middle, all of a sudden, it's like we can't go any further because we'll never make it back. That's how these kinds of things can feel like, wave after wave, crashing over you, but then that undertow sucking you back in also. Like you're never going to get out of it. Does the sickness never end? Does the debilitating afflictions, do they not go away? Is there not an end to the battle? Whether it's cancer or something else terminal, surgeries or aging, weakness. Feels like wave after wave after wave crashing down. And just when you feel like you've got yourself stable on your feet again, another wave crashes on you. Maybe somebody else gets sick. Somebody dies right in the midst of all of your own trials. Or maybe it's depression or it's something outside of you, something else outside of you that's coming at you in some kind of a way. Darkness, dreariness. Maybe it's hardships at work or at home or at school. Wave after wave after wave crashing down. Feels like you're in the sink and the water's just running from the tap, all swirling around, picking up all the debris and picking you up with it and swirling you all the way around and around and around. And you know you're headed right for that drain. Is that what's going on? Being sifted so much that you're being drained out, rinsed away. No, God is for us. God may be testing your faith hard, but He's for you in the midst of it. In all of these things, He's for us. He's on our side. We are the people of His pasture. We are His, and He's the one who made us. And He is not doing any of these things to destroy us, but all of them to make us stronger. All of them to produce a greater fruitfulness of glory to His name. All of it to make us more and more dependent upon the Lord our God. Isaiah 43 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God is on our side. Now the flip side of that coin is if God is for us, then He's against these enemies also. And that's the other hope that's in Psalm 124. That He's against all of these enemies, all these who are against Him. Proverbs 3:34, which is quoted in James 4, verse 6, says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them He will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the power of His anointed." You see, He's using all of these enemies and all of these tests to strengthen you and to lead you to the glorious declaration and confession in this psalm, right in the end of verse 8. "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Sometimes God has to do a lot of things to get our attention. Maybe he's done a lot of things in your life this year to get your attention. Maybe he's got your attention already, and you just need to be reminded where your help comes from. The Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He made the heavens and the earth. He can take care of you. He has guided and directed all things in history to his glory and for the good of his people. He can do that in your life as well. He is doing that in your life. So the psalmist is trying to open our eyes to see it. And maybe that's why he concludes the psalm with this confession in verse 8, rather than putting it at the beginning, because it just takes us a while sometimes to see it. Really? In all of this? Yes, in all of this, God is your help. Yes, in all of this, God is for you, for us. He's there for us. He's there with us. He's on our side. In all of these troubles, in all of these difficulties, and in facing all of these enemies. God is for us. Let Israel now say it. Our help is in the name of the Lord. We're not defeated. And we're not going to be defeated. In fact, we're stronger now than we were. By God's grace, we're stronger. By God's grace, our faith is stronger. By God's grace, our resolve is stronger. And so maybe this Thanksgiving Day, you can add one more item to that long list of things that you are thankful for. That you might give thanks to God for the tough times in life. Because God is for us, the tough times make us tougher. The hardships solidify our faith, concretize our confidence in his peace. We look around in life and we realize that Jesus is on our side. We know we're going to make it through. We know with great confidence and assurance this is going to work out well. It's going to work out very well. We may not be able to see the abundant blessings that he has in those dark storm clouds, but they're there. We may not understand why so much evil and dishonesty goes unchecked in our world. But we know that God preserves us in the midst of it. He's for us. He's on our side. He is using these things to strengthen our faith, to teach us to put off our sin and to forsake the world, to crucify our old nature, to lead a godly life, and to run the race of faith, running to Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, our Good Shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we have much to give thanks to you for. We give thanks to you today as well for these tough times, for having to face enemies. We give you thanks because of what you do as a God for us, conquering all of these enemies through the cross of Jesus Christ and now doing the work in your kingdom of pressing them down until Christ comes again. And their defeat is final. Strengthen us through having to face these enemies and through the trials and afflictions, whether they be waves upon waves, whether they be snarling beasts, whether they be snares of the fowlers, or whether they be people rising up against us. Let us face it all with the confidence that you are using these things to strengthen our faith, not to hurt us or destroy us, but to make us stronger in the Lord, to revive us in the good confession that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we give you thanks for that, as well as all the other things that we thank you for today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, great God, infinite in majesty and holiness, for being on our side. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.